to the adjacent home, specifically at Tortator. Further, I called the Taney County Sheriff Department, and of the hundreds, I mean hundreds of police reports associated with Victor Church Road, only two are associated with these eight nightly rental properties on this zoned property. So a vehicle check, a domestic issue, and it's unconfirmed if they were actually on property or just associated with someone who is associated with that address. So that was not determined and would required apparently a lot of work on her part in records, and I wasn't going to put her through that. So that is, I mean, essentially 13 years with less than 0.5% of all the hundreds of Taney County Sheriff reports on Victor Church Road as a whole. And that is potentially nightly rental related. So I would think this data proves that the safety and welfare of the operation of a nightly rental is not a detriment and does not endanger the surrounding properties. So, keep in mind, this is not a single home like ours. This is a multi-unit complex. So if we'll continue here. Some more distances. So some factors here. The NR3 zone property is actually closer to the neighbors. It's also close to us. It has no fences that were required to buffer for the adjacent properties. And so the thought there, excuse me, if buffers that are half the distance suffice for a fully zoned nightly rental, we should not be required to build a whole fence around a conditional use permitted property with much more buffering than this one between the adjacent properties. And so we can continue here to the property adjustments. Excuse me. So we did make a couple of small adjustments, I'll say. Regarding the pool concerns, this was part of the safety factor. A small part, but part of it. So we took down the old pool that we had on May 23rd, built a new steel-lined pool, and added a no trespassing sign, too, actually, complete with a locked gate and fence. And so further guests would be, and are the other properties that we manage and have, required to sign a waiver to receive access to the code required to get into the pool. So there's a system in place for the safety there as well. And as you may know, there are many nightly rentals with pools around Branson, for example. If you've been to Chateau Mountain there on the side of the mountain, we've managed there as well. It has a fenced-in pool with no lock on it. So I would think if that example is adequate for city and county approval, that our added layers of security certainly satisfy the requirements for conditional use permits for safety and welfare. So if we'll continue, that shows you the two signs and the positioning. And moving on here, the A1 zoning. So to point three for zoning, the point addresses both reasons 1 and 4 for the denial of the conditional use permit. So one, our property is zoned A1 agricultural. As I've stated, all the other adjoining properties are. It does allow for other types, many types actually, of commercial use on the property. So if we can build an auto shop on an A1 zoned property, I mean, we should be fine hosting some families that want to watch the latest Sight and Sound theater show. So, I mean, there are several uses that we can pursue that don't require a conditional use permit and are permit by right, as stated on on the page where this is at. I feel like, yeah, so page 67, I don't know if anyone has a QR code reader, but this is programmed to where you can pull up the actual zoning regulations if you're interested in that. So, for example, we could start a private boarding stable for horses or even build a primary and a secondary school, all of which would cause certainly more traffic and noise and safety concerns than a nightly rental. And just for reference, I pulled up a few of the approved uses for the properties. I mean, this is like treatment facility, church, shooting range, firearm sales. You know, some of those do require the conditional use permit. But there are two commercial businesses operating on Victor Church Road, so there is precedent for something like that. Now, many of these don't require, as you see, a conditional use permit, but the ones that have the asterisk, I put the asterisk there, those are permit by right, essentially not requiring that. So, all of a sudden, a tiny nightly rental for some families is not looking so bad. If we can continue here. So, as for the buffering, I really wanted to address this. So, to give some context in our hearing, those in attendance, the three that I had mentioned, the neighbors that had spoken against, were concerned about people getting into the pond next door. I did get some pictures of that as well. And they wanted to create a buffer, namely a privacy fence to keep people out. And one thing to note is that neighbor actually moved out about a week after the hearing. So, that concern may not necessarily be there. But further, is that we did research and found that a fence is not the only suitable kind of buffer. So you can also consider distance and separation, elevation, trees, et cetera. We were hoping to have some of the board members perform a walkthrough of a property to see all of these factors that exist between our house and the adjacent houses and even the pond, but the timing didn't quite work out. So in lieu of a walkthrough, I have some pictures. So just looking through some of these. Yeah, so this is the pool area, and you can see the land between there. It's not a direct comparison, I would say. But it gives you some context for where it's at. So here with the house, this essentially is from the front door. And it gives you a view of, on the left side, the neighbor here on the, what is that, the east side. You cannot see their house. And so it's quite a walk. It's a little over, if you were to look at an acre, the side of an acre is what, like 208 feet? It's well over that, walking past over 2 acres, so to speak, or two of those distances to walk up the hill around the tree buffer, past a big barn structure and little body shop there kind of structure, multiple trees, et cetera. So that's the left side, east side. And over on the west side here, you can see multiple trees past the pond as a buffer, as well as another tree stand, a whole enclosed fence around the pond area, and lots of land to buffer the other house, which you also cannot see from the property. So I wanted to offer this, one, as buffering, but two, as evidence as to why investing in a large privacy fence is not necessary, since the buffering here, based on the research that I've done, would suffice. So I'll remind again that our buffering on our property are twice that of the existing NR3 a quarter mile down the road. So if the buffer is enough on the NR3 zone property to suffice or satisfy the county commission for an NR3 zone property, I would venture to say that surely our buffer provides more than enough separation to satisfy the safety and welfare in the first denial reason. So these right here, there's some screenshots. Some screenshots from Beacon that show an overhead view here. We looked at a bit of this when you were showing it, Scott, initially. But these specific distances shows you, just briefly, just shows you a comparison of the distance between the adjoining houses door to door, the neighbors here, as opposed to the NR3, which I had also demonstrated in a previous slide. So if we can please continue to the next one. So I'm not going to belabor this. It's just it's half as much here, even door to door and with less buffering. So to the neighbor's pond, I had briefly mentioned that. So the water feature, the pond here on the neighbor's property, is enclosed by a 3-foot welded wire fence. So we're talking about a fenced-in pond blocked from view by a pine tree stand at a distance from our property on the neighboring property. I would just hope that would be considered. And feel free to go to the next one here. There we go. Okay, that gives you a better idea. So to be clear, there are hundreds of nightly rentals across Taney County that have water features in and around the properties that are not fenced or restricted. And so these water features include pools, rivers, lakes like Table Rock Lake and Lake Taneycomo. One example is the Chateau Cove community that has direct lake accessibility. And so, therefore, if those other properties were accepted in those with those water features present, it would seem that our property would also qualify for a nightly rental use, not to be encumbered by the consideration of a pond, a fenced-in pond next door. And so on to the final point here of general welfare. just briefly, I did look up in the Missouri Constitution what general welfare constitutes as. It's a side note, and it's a critical one that defines general welfare. So I covered this topic specifically because of one very important detail that addresses the number one reason for the Planning Commission's decision to deny the application. And so I highlighted the parts here, or underlined the parts here, that are relevant to our situation. And I am willing, certainly willing, to hear any one of our opposing neighbors' counter arguments to what we're doing today, that what we intend to do with our property is damaging or inhibits one of our neighbors' natural rights according to the definition of general welfare laid out both in the Taney County zoning regulations and wonderfully illustrated in the Constitution of Missouri. So the question there is renting out our home, thus pursuing life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the enjoyment of the gains of our industry, which I love that wording, is that taking those natural rights away from any of our neighbors? And the simple answer is no, it's not. We do have the right to use our land as we are led by God to use it, and you know, so do they. Therefore, I believe that I have fully addressed the first reason for our conditional use permit denial regarding safety and general welfare, and hopefully you can see why this decision by the Planning Commission is an error. They simply did not have the right information to work with based on the initial hearing, and we did not expect our neighbors, frankly, to come out and oppose us after I checked with all of them and got the okay, and they said that they had no problem with it. So that was kind of jarring to have three people there renege on what they said. So if we can continue to the second, what is this, the final notes? So final notes on safety and compatibility. I do feel that number four was addressed pretty thoroughly in what I had presented, so I'm not going to go overboard on this one. I just plan to wrap this response to requirement four with only this slide as I talk through the points. As far as compatibility, first of all, why is this really an issue? I mean, we are a family hosting families, living next to families. It really is all about family here. We are automatically zoned A1 by Taney County, just like our neighbors next door, since we have more than the 5 acres of land, as I understand. The zoning allows for a wide range of businesses and activities on our property, including an auto shop. Therefore, if we just want to rent out our house as is to a few families on weekends, does that fall under the context of scale and site design for the compatibility? No, it's just a house being used as a house, essentially. Further, what about the operating characteristics like hours of operation, traffic generation, lighting, etc.? According to our experience as property managers and our rules for guest conduct, we contend that our operating characteristics do not and will not breach any of these listed factors. It would be as if we were home with our big family. And lastly, if we can rent out our place to a long-term renter, why is short-term renting an issue here? And I know that could open a whole can of worms, but I think the simple comparison could stand. So that was the first part with like a bunch of subparts. So two, the biggest point to address compatibility is simply looking at the example we have down the street. Quarter mile away in NR3, that gives us the unique opportunity to present to you the evidence of what ours would look like in terms of compatibility and safety. They've successfully operated as nightly rentals for the past 13 years, and we do intend to share in that success. We sincerely